Wasn't that a good word? That's a good word.
You know, for some of us, we may think that this week or these next few meetings is for the unsaved and the saved. No, it's for the churched. It's for the churched because, like I said to you in the beginning, unless the church grab hold of it, we can't change a nation. Unless the church do its part, God can't work. Why? Because the Bible says that God wants to work through you and I. That we have the right to do what the Word of God says. Like Pastor Trevor was saying in his last one, the Word is within you. But the thing is, the Word needs to get out of you and be living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. And so this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the action of prayer will always bring a response from God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Verse 7, and we know this, chapter 7, and we know this really well. For a lot of people that have been in church life most of their lives, you will know this off by heart. For a person like me that's grown up in Sunday school and all that sort of stuff, you know this. You get taught this as part of your Sunday school memory verse. Verse 14 says this, and my people who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their lands. We're going to look at this portion of Scripture quite in depth in the next 45 minutes. But I want to challenge us as a church. I want to challenge us as believers that if we want to change things within our nation, it's got to change within us first. The first thing is God always puts a condition because it starts off by saying, if my people... Wherever you see the word if in the Word of God, God's putting a condition on that. If you do this, then something's going to happen. If you do it this way, something's going to happen. And that word if means in case of, whether my people pray or not, God will still intervene. Because it's not so much that God is looking for a body of people that will pray. He's looking for someone that will stand in the gap. Just like Moses stood in the gap between Israel and God and their judgment, God is just looking for someone that will take the banner or take the beacon to the next place, pass the baton on to someone else that can run with it. But see, like what we're trying to do is we're trying to grow our churches to a place where we do a movement of body heading in the same direction. That's good, but we know that to get a whole herd of people to a certain direction isn't always capable. We can't always do it. It's like trying to get a whole herd of people to hear what God is saying over these next few days. We already see the evidence that it's already hard. People have work commitments. People have family commitments. What about where our nation is heading, church? The Bible's saying we need to get back to this element of prayer. And I don't know whether you're a praying person or whether you think you're a praying person, but God is still saying His word, if my people will humble themselves and pray, then He will hear. But everybody, yeah, we come to prayer meetings and we begin to pray and we get excited about our prayers. But like what Pastor Trevor said in the last message, are we praying the word? Are we expounding the word? Because that's the thing that will turn the hand of God, that will turn the word of God to our good. But see, a lot of our prayer meetings, I've been in prayer meetings, I've grown up in prayer meetings like this, where we're praying for souls, we're praying for God to move, but God needs to move in us first. Are we willing to take the step to pray? Are we willing to humble ourselves enough that if your pastor calls an all-night prayer meeting, are you willing to be there? Oh, well, I'm tired. Friend, we all get tired. The only day of rest you'll get is when you die. Then you've got all eternity to think, oh, I've wasted my years. But I want to give you a few keys and a few points that God puts in there. Things that God wants us to know, things that God wants us to do. If you want a response from God, because nowhere, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, nowhere does God say that He's going to remove our government. He says our first point of action is to pray for them. So we must understand what God is saying. If Daniel can still go against a decree that said that anybody that prays to another God, that serves another God, he will lose his life, but yet he had a burden within his heart. And the first message Pastor Trevor did was there was a burden on someone's heart. What's the burden on your heart? You know, just over a year ago, Deborah and I came to Auckland and we planted a church. And what we found in that wasn't birthed just because we came, but it came out of a burden on our hearts, what God had put in our hearts. Church, you've got to have a burden. Friend, you've got to have a burden to see the nation come to know Jesus. Like we've heard, most of them know Him as a slang or a swear word or something as a curse word. But how do we really know this Jesus if we ain't getting into prayer? If we aren't praying what the Word of God says? If we aren't planting those seeds into people's lives? Because the Word of God tells us, and most of us know, that some will sow, some will water, and some will reap. Well, a year ago we came to reap, and we're starting to reap what some of you might have sown. You might have tried to sow them into your church, but hello, they've come into mine. Why? Because some of us are to sow, some of us are to water, and some of us will reap. Because you might have reaped someone where we've sown. But the act is this, we've got to get back to the house of prayer. It's our first point of call. So I believe that God has shown me these 8 things that we need to know. And up on the PowerPoint, you can write them down. They've all been spelt right because the young girl at the back has done it for me. But you need to take note that even in this little scripture, we've only read one scripture. But in here, God's showing me 8 things that you need to know. The first one is you need to know who you belong to, whom you serve. The Bible says, if my people, who is your God? What do you serve? Why are you serving God? Why do we come to the churches we come to? Why do we want to know this God that we know? We have to know who we belong to. In our church, we say we have to know who He is. Who are we? What do we believe? You know, it's sad when you go to a lot of other places and they have no foundation of the Word of God. Everything is hype. Everything is program. We got to program this, even to the fact that they program the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Church, God's program lasts eternity. But when are we going to get back to the element of praying? Getting back to the element of really seeking God's face? When you know who you are and who you serve, you will get back to the first element that God says, let my house be a house of prayer. I'm amazed that in most churches today, that the prayer meeting is the less attended service, and yet it's the most important. You know, in our church alone, and I can only speak for ours, we have a lot of backslidden Christians that have come back to the Lord. Some of them 15 years out of the Lord. And they've come back. But you know what they've come back with? A passion to pray. I have people saying, Pastor, when's our next prayer meeting? We have 2 prayer meetings during the day. We're looking at doing a night prayer meeting. Why? Because people see the urgency of coming together to pray. Why? Because it's our first point of call. We must hear what the Word of God is saying. You know, we hear a lot of people sharing what God is doing in their lives, but what's the Word of God that changed their life? What's the Word of God that knew who you belong to, knew who you serve? And the Bible says, if my people know who they are, that's what God is saying, and then He will hear. A lot of us, we pray and hope, oh God, if it be your will. If you don't know the will of God, you don't know the Word of God. Because apparently, we're told that the Bible has all the answers. Your pastor, or whom you may serve under, does not have all the answers. So when they can't give you the right answer, why don't you go try looking for yourself? Why don't you try and go answer those questions that some of us may have asked too? It's got to go back to this house of prayer. It's got to go back to knowing who you are and whom you serve. The second one out of there is you've got to know what God has called you to do. Know what's required of you by God. I pray that not everybody wants to be a preacher. There ain't enough pulpits to do it, but there's a whole world that you can do it in. There's not enough churches for you to do it, but there's a whole world out there that maybe someone wants to listen to what you have to say if it's according to the Word. See, the Bible says don't just be hearers of the Word, but be doers. Church, the church place here is not a place to do. It's a place to hear, and God's given us a world for a place to do. That's where we're meant to build our houses. That's where we're meant to build the kingdom of God. That's how it increases. But when we get to know what we're called to do, if you're called to be an harvester, be a harvester. Be the evangelist that God's called you to be. Don't go seeking after something like this that they call a pulpit. Why? Because when you get here and you look out here, sometimes it's a bit freaky what you see. You know, I found that the greatest gift of evangelism is texting. I've been texting people, sharing the word of God, and you know, even though they come back and they may text back and say it's not for me, you know, I don't feel any rejection. I don't feel any embarrassment. What a wonderful technology to text someone, how are you going? You need to know Jesus. And every now and then I go through all my people on my cell phone and I'll text them. You need to get back to Jesus. Not one of them has said blah, blah, blah over my phone or no, I don't want to hear any of this. The majority have said, I know. I know. If you don't know how to talk to people, learn how to text. Know what you're called to do because we're all called to a mission field out there, not in here. Your mission field in here, the Bible says, is to pray. If my people will pray and seek my face. The third one, know the qualification or what qualifies your character in God. Know the qualifying character of God in you. Know the qualifying character of God in your life. What qualifies you to be the person of God? And like we heard, it's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. But it's the Word that's living and active that qualifies you. You know, I remember going home. My home is the city of Kawerau. Great city of 6,500 people. And I went home and I preached a message. What good can come out of Kawerau? Hello. Friend, what good can come out of your situation? See, if you look at the situation when you're right in it, you look at your perspective. But when you get on top of that situation, you look from God's perspective. That's what qualifies you to be a person of God. That's what qualifies you to get into this atmosphere of prayer to say, God, what is it that you want to do in my life? God, what is it that will help qualify me to speak into the nation where people will hear? Because friend, the truth is this, not everybody wants to hear what you have to say. I pastor a church, I know. And that's in a church. But who cares whether they want to hear you or not? It's my qualification that God gives me a pulpit to share what God's put in my heart. Why? Because I spent time in my office praying. God, come on, I need a now word. And some of you need to get a now word, not a word that you got 10,000 years ago. You know where your now word is? Here. Still living and active. It still does what it did many, many years ago. You can still lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. You can still cast out demons. Demons, what are those? Some of them sit in our churches. Come on, let's get into the prayer bus. Because why? Because when you get into that, you will hear what God is saying to us as a people. You will hear what God is saying to us as an individual. It will qualify you in the things of God to see God's hand move on your behalf. Number four, know what action or strategy you must take to succeed. You know, part of faith means success. You know how you get success through faith? The Bible says through trials and tribulations. Through your hard times grows your faith. So how much faith you need is how big your trial will be. Why? So that God will keep that communication with you and bring you into that place where you say, God, I need a strategy on how to do this. Deborah and I, we needed a strategy on how to grow living faith. We needed a strategy how to move to Auckland to plant a church where we didn't get so consumed in the workplace anymore. And friend, let me tell you this. Because God gave us a strategy, I have not had to go secular work because my church has grown that fast. When God gives you a strategy, be prepared to work fast.
If you're really praying for God to give you the strategy, you're really praying for God to give you actions and how this can happen, church, He will take you at your word. God, you said, if I build your house, Lord, you will build a house for Deborah and I. I'm taking that naturally. Your rent in Auckland is out of this world. I want to be a landowner so they pay me that amount of rent. See, church, you've got to get a strategy. Every man of God that succeeded had a strategy. And if you're losing your way in your strategy, get back into prayer. God, what's my next step? You know, sometimes God doesn't give you the whole plan because it may freak you out. God will give you one step at a time. And then He'll increase that step to the place you become running in your strategy. Number five. Know who you must depend on. In other words, know where your mind must be. The Bible says that your mind needs to be where? Stayed on Him. It's got to be stayed on Him. So no matter what we go through, and friend, we all have our upsets. We all sometimes allow the flesh to rise up every now and then. But our mind has to be stayed on Christ, that we fix those things quickly. Why? Because we need each other. I need you just as much as you need me. You may say, well, I'm glad I've got another pastor. Hey, I can think the same too. But the thing is, our minds must be as one. Like how revival came in Acts 2. They were of one mind, one heart, one voice. In other words, they pray, and that word pray means to shout. How many prayer meetings have you been to where it's so quiet you can hear the flies buzzing around? What we're doing is we're stirring our people to lift their voices. Because I tell you, when you speak it out, you prophetically speak the word of God out, you can guarantee God's going to activate it. Are you too scared that God might activate your prayer? We have a lady that's 85 in our church, coming to 86, and boy, she is fiery. 86! I think she's better than the one that was 80 in the Bible. She's always saying, God, give me this mountain. She's been in hospital for the last few months, but she's come out again. She's as frail as anything, but when the Spirit of God hits her, she gets into her prayer realm. Man, you think she was a 16-year-old. Why? Because her mind has stayed on Him. She knows that when she goes, she's going to glory. So why not experience glory here on earth? Because the Bible says, as it is in heaven, we can have it here. As it is there, we can have it there. Let the glory fall. See, you've got to know who you must depend on. Who do you depend on? The Bible says we can only depend on the Word. We can only depend on the Holy Spirit. We can only depend on the salvation of Jesus Christ through us, that He comes to us. We depend on those things. Why? Like Pastor Trevor was saying, so that people will recognize what a Christian is all about. Wouldn't that be awesome if we really did what he said and just put Christian church? We're going to try it. Why not? Because he's right. You drive down, you can tell a Muslim temple wherever you drive. And let me tell you this. If there's a Muslim temple near you, they are coming to take your land. You need to read some of the reasons why they put their temples where they are. They will spread out and take the whole land literally. Buy it all up so that you become submissive to them. Church, you've got to know. Friend, you've got to know who we depend on. If you think we're in the last days, well, we're heading there. It's coming quickly. But I'm saying, God, just hang off a few more years. I want to accomplish everything that you've put in my heart to do. Deborah and I, we have a burden in our heart for the South Auckland. We have a burden for that. We have a burden for our nation. We have our burden for our world. But see, I can't do all that. I'm not God. We need you. So we have to know who we have to depend on. It's God that gives us the strategy. My mind must be stayed on what God has called me to do. Number six. Know what you are requesting of God and adore Him. See, when you adore God, God will give you everything under heaven.
If you adore man, he'll just give you, try and give you everything under the sun. But if you adore God, he'll give you everything under heaven. Because he says whatever is there is now ours. But see, when you ask God, when you request of God, adore him. Oh, the Bible says already see it as if it is. You've got to see it as if it already is. So if you're wanting souls, you've got to see souls. You've got to preach to the vision of your heart. You've got to preach to the thing, or you've got to speak to the thing that you're requesting God of. If you're praying for healing for somebody's life, then you've got to request that of God and adore God and thank him for that, that it's already happened. See, a lot of us want things, but we show no gratitude when we get it. God's saying, you show me gratitude first and you'll get it. If my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he's wanting you to adore him. 7. Know what you will meet and confront, or what you will oppose. See, you've got to know what you're confronting, church. The Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, even though we've been doing that for years. Even within church life, we do that. Well, who do they think they are? Look at them getting up there. They've only been in church 2 minutes. See, that's against flesh and blood. What did Jesus come to confront? You must understand why he came. So that's the reason he sent you. That's the reason he's given you salvation. Know what we've come to confront. Even with the things that are happening in our government, we have to know what we're confronting. It's not Helen Clark. It's the spirit in which they're doing it. And the Bible says part of that you need to do is you must pray for them. You must bless them. Why? So that their heart will turn back. Because it's amazing how someone can say in leadership, well, I go to this church, so that makes me all right. And yet they can do other things that go against the Word of God. Friend, it's not a church that will save your life. It's the Word of God. It's you activating that. That when you come into your prayer meeting, when was the last time that you felt the burden of God, that your prayer meeting just wept? Where tears just flowed because the Word of God was so burdened in your heart. You know, I said to my church last year, I could never understand why I never had a passion for souls. I'm a pastor, for goodness sake, and I don't have a passion for souls. Why is that? And I said I was studying the Word because I wanted that question asked. Don't get me wrong. I love to see souls coming, but I never had a passion for souls. And I read the scripture, and we all know the scripture very well, that the Bible says about the harvesters and about the harvest, that the harvest is so white. But the thing that God said in that, the main point, was not the harvest, but the harvesters. And something went off in me. See, church, my job is to equip harvesters to bring me souls. To equip harvesters again to bring me souls. And when I got that revelation, I tell you what, man, I felt free. That my job isn't out there, my job is in here. That's what God has qualified me for, to equip you as people to be harvesters to get souls. Because once you come to know Jesus, yes, you're his, but you're no longer a lost soul, or you shouldn't be. You should be a harvester where that scripture burns in your heart. Well, if I'm a harvester, I need to get those white harvesters, because when it becomes white, the point of that is it's beginning to rot. You got to know what you got to confront. You got a fear in your life. You got to confront that. Face your fears. I don't know if you've ever been to Rainbow's End, where they have that fearful. I've only been on it once in my life. My fear didn't fall, it jumped out. You get to the top, and I have my children sitting with me. They're saying, "You're okay, Dad." And I'm hanging on. I was fine until I looked straight ahead. But as soon as I looked down, I tell you, my knees began to sing hallelujah. My son was sitting next to me, and he touched me, and he said, "Are you all right there?" "Don't touch me, don't touch me." I could feel my knuckles going white. Looked down, sure enough, they were white. They suspended us there for a while, and next minute, bang! I tell you, what came out of my mouth was a scream of, "Oh my God!" I'd never experienced anything like that in my life. I got off that thing and I tell you, man, my knees, woo, did they buckle? My kids came to me, "Are you all right, Dad? Get away from me." Boy, I had to sit. I knew that was not my calling to freak myself out like that. See, church, we got to know. That's not confronting your fear. That's just being stupid. But there's some things we need to confront in our lives. And one of them, church, is we have to get back to prayer. You've got to get back to the first point of prayer. Because it was prayer that brought you your salvation. You had the gift of faith, but it was that act of prayer where you prayed Him as Lord and Savior of your life. You've got to get back to that. And the church is lacking in prayer. You call a prayer meeting, everybody else is busy when it's prayer. You say you're going to put on a banquet, every man and his dog turns up then. Well, why don't you lie and ask for forgiveness on Sunday? No, don't do that. But we've got to know what we're confronting. The Bible says principalities and powers. How do you confront that? Pray the word. In our intercessor's prayer meeting, say to them, what is God saying in His word? Not what He's saying to you, what is He saying in the word? What's He saying? In our church service, when we have free worship, and our worship is free, we don't charge them to worship in our house. But we're saying to them, what is God saying through His word? Don't come up and share a testimony, I'll shut you down. What's the word of God saying? How did the word of God set you free? What was the thing you prayed and you saw God move? What was the thing you confronted and you saw God move? One of the things that Deborah and I had to confront in Auckland was the rent. Living where we live, you can get a beautiful home. If you've never been to K-Town, you can buy a beautiful home for what even you pay in rent. When we got up here, the first 2 months, I tell you, it felt like I was going through hell. God, is this really You? But I love what Pastor Trevor read this morning, or last night. And this morning in Jeremiah, he said, but in amongst all that, there was a burning with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Church, it's the Word of God that's living and active that will change your life. Like Pastor Trevor said, reading this Word will not change your life unless you activate it. Why don't you give it a go? Number 8, know the truth. And like we heard this morning, the truth is the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. Then why are we so scared of the world? Why are we so scared of rejection? Because we've forgotten to go to the house of prayer first. Every service we have, we start with prayer. Every service we encourage our people, come on. We pray in our sanctuary where we are so that the people walk into the atmosphere of prayer. Not in the atmosphere of, hello, how are you? How are you doing? Haven't seen you for a while. No. That's why we have a coffee afterwards. So they can blab their lips then. But we're wanting to create that atmosphere where we know the truth, the Word of God. Where we want to see 2 Chronicles. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Because you know, a lot of our worship starts out of our prayer meeting. We don't have to razz the people up to get them going. Because if you've been in church life a while and you've been to many meetings, half people walk in half dead. And so that's why they've got to razz them up. No. If you got into the house of prayer, you'd already be right. Got to know the truth. Because the Bible says the truth will set you free. But what we know about the truth, sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes it hurts. And then God says He will do these things for you. 5 things He said He will do. First one, He will hear. He will hear. You need to develop your hearing, like we heard this morning. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to what? Not the unsaved, to the church, to them that believe. You've got to hear, you've got to develop your response. You've got to develop your strategy. You've got to develop what God is saying. So if God is saying, come on, He's speaking to you through His Word, well, God, how do I make this happen? See, all prayer is talking to God, talking His Word. Because it's amazing how we began was through His Word. It says in Genesis that God spoke because He saw nothing. Some things were empty, so He spoke and it happened. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to quote His Word so that He can respond to this Word. Living and active. Two, He said He will forgive. See, church, God won't resent His own. As God forgives, we need to forgive just as quickly. But see, in God's forgiveness, what we have to learn as church, as believers, is there is restitution to pay as well. That you might be forgiven, but there is something you still have to do to put it right properly. A lot of us, you know, may come to the altar asking God to forgive us time and time again, but that is not true forgiveness. There's a walking out of forgiveness. It's like when you got saved and you asked God to forgive you of your sins. Well, salvation doesn't stop there. See, vengeance won't come to His people when you learn to forgive properly. When we ask God to forgive and He says He will forgive us, in other words, God won't bring an attack against you. You need to get into His Word. The third thing, He said He will forgive our sins, our offenses, the transgressions towards Him. That's what sin is all about. It's everything that's against God. It's against His Word. He'll forgive our disobedience. That's what sin is all about, is obedience to yourself. That's what sin is. When we obey, like Pastor Trevor was saying, the self kingdom. Who's sitting on your throne? Four, He will heal. That word heal means to make things sound and whole again. In other words, to bring back to the original plan, to the original design, to the original strategy, back to where God first planned it to be. And the last one, He will heal our lands. It's talking about individually as well. It's talking about our country, our estates, farms, the things that we own that God says He will restore. You know, the Bible says that God says He will restore everything that the cankerworm, the palmerworm that has eaten, everything that those things have eaten, the locusts have eaten. What do locusts eat? They eat the outer shell of the plant. Every good thing that grows off it, they'll come and eat it. The cankerworm eats the tree, the bark itself. It'll eat into that. Whereas the palmer worm is the most dangerous, it'll eat the root that will bear the fruit. And God says He will restore that back to us. He will heal our land if we only but pray. Got to get back, church, to a humbling of oneself. Putting yourself below the plans of God. You know, we talk about dying to self, but it's like we have to do that every day. And the Bible says, yes, it's a daily thing. Why? Because daily we react. Daily you wake up. Daily we get an attitude. Even pastor gets an attitude. That's why the Bible says, come on, you need to get back into that house of prayer. You need to get back into the Word and hear what the Word is saying. Because are we living for God's kingdom? Or our own kingdom. A house of prayer. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You know that humbleness means to make yourself dependent on God. Are we really dependent on God? If we're honest, we can say yes and no. Because even though I may not go to secular work, my wife does. She don't earn that much. For what she does, it's not too bad. But that's not God's perfect plan. That's not her plan either. Her plan is to do what God's called us both to do. to grow our church, to grow our people, to grow our harvesters. Where does that happen? Back in the house of prayer. Because it was through one prayer meeting that the church decided for me not to go to work. It was through one prayer meeting that God opened a door where we now have a building where we have rent free. That's God. But where did that happen? It happened in a prayer meeting. It was in one prayer meeting that God spoke to us. And now I have all my family serving the Lord, my other brothers and sisters. We've had two sisters that have been out of the Lord for a number of years. One of my younger sister came to live with us. And so our house became rehab. And in that time of rehab, she got to know Jesus as her own personal Savior. Where did that happen? In a house of prayer. For you to get your answer, church, it's got to happen in a house of prayer. For us to change our nation and infect our environments must start in a house of prayer. I'm going to ask my team to come and we're going to finish with a song. But I want you to bring your hearts into that atmosphere of prayer. When was the last time you really sought God? Or is it like us when we say grace? Thank you, Lord, for this food that we're about to receive. We pray you bless it to us in Jesus' name. Let's eat. That's not what a house of prayer is all about. A house of prayer is something that you live in, you live with, and you abide in.